You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. It seems abundantly clear to most residents of Oregon and California that wildfires are a huge threat to property and lives every year. But there's a part of that issue that isn't as well understood. According to CAL FIRE, half of all arson fires involve individuals ages 17 or younger. And without early intervention, it is estimated that 80% of these young people may continue this dangerous behavior. In Shasta County, there's a specialized intervention program that has identified, assessed, and educated more than 400 children, achieving a remarkable 98% success rate. Joining me to help us learn more is Jazz Shaw, a youth fire prevention specialist with Youth Options in Shasta County. Welcome, Jazz.
Hey, good morning.
So tell me about the work you do and why.
Okay, well, that's a short question, and there's a long answer. Personally, why I do the work is working with youth fire setters and their families is a personal call to action for me as myself and my then 8-year-old daughter were in a serious house fire. So we were seriously burned and spent 3 weeks in separate burn units in 2007. Both of us fully recovered. And thankfully, but when I started working at Youth Options Shasta in 2012, that is a juvenile justice diversion program for youth that have committed low-level, some medium crimes, and they go through youth peer court where they go through a court hearing with a judge, and it's having their case heard by a jury of their peers. It's a restorative justice program, much like this youth fire prevention program. And the youth are given dispositions that are fair and appropriate to the crime that was committed. And I started seeing that we were having kids coming through court that had youth fire setting cases. And as a burn survivor, that was definitely a call to action for me, as I didn't want any family to have to go through what my daughter and I went through. And so I partnered with the Shasta Arson Task Force to develop a now nationally recognized youth fire prevention program. So, yeah, we're very proud of that.
Well, that is amazing. And I do want to ask you about your success rate. But before I ask you that question, I'm curious about your personal story. You said that you and your daughter went through this excruciating experience and came out the better for it. On the other side, with your health intact. Was that intentional or accidental, the fire?
The fire was accidental. It was undetermined as to exactly what the cause was, but there was definitely mistakes that I made with, you know, being in a home that didn't have a working smoke detector. We never had practiced any exit drills, what to do if there was a fire. And I also had furniture that was too close to a heating source. So when it comes to fire prevention, that is a huge, that's what we teach about, right? So obviously not playing with fire is super important because of the danger. But as well, you know, fire prevention is a huge part of keeping people safe.
Well, the stats for the Shasta program are incredible. A 98% success rate in a field where 80% of the kids might otherwise continue setting fires. To what do you attribute this high level of success?
We have like a full wraparound approach. When a family is referred to us from a fire agency, juvenile probation, mental health, wherever we get the family from, we have an intake and assessment process. We sit down with the family and determine kind of more than just what happened with the fire, but as well as like what is going on fully in their house, how the kids are doing, how they're doing in school, just getting a real good picture of where they're at in life at that time. And then we do use an evidence-based assessment tool to determine if they have a future fire risk. And based on the determination, if it's they have some definite or an extreme risk for fire setting, we can then we'll know what type of interventions we need to put in place with the individual. I would say that probably I would say probably 90% of the youth that come through the program probably have some major trauma going on in their life. And so what we've seen over looking at the data for these 400 youth is once we deal with the underlying crisis that's happening, the fire setting stops. So we also, after the assessment, we get them the services that they need, and we continue to stay in contact. So I would be like a case manager for the family, and if stuff comes up, they call me. We'll have other meetings with the family as needed. And then we have our two-day Youth Fire Prevention Academy, which is it's once a year, and all the kids that have been identified as having a fire setting incident go to this two-day class. So it's 4 hours over two consecutive Thursday evenings, and we have all of the fire investigators that have identified the kids. They're now teaching the classes, and it's talking about thinking errors, making good choices, talk about, the fire. They have to write an apology letter to whoever was a victim of the situation the fire that they set, or whoever was affected. And then they read those apology letters to the class. They also read them to their parents in the class. So it's really a hands-on approach, and it's over, 6 months to a year program. And it's just really based on the need of each individual family.
Well, it does sound like it leaves an indelible mark in their mind. My guest is Jas Shaw, a youth fire prevention specialist with Youth Options in Shasta County. Now, Jas, Cal Fire reports that half of all arson fires are started by youth ages 17 and under. Why do these kids start fires?
As I mentioned before, the majority of, I would say, the problem fire setters, the ones that will continue to do to play with fire, they are experiencing some type of trauma in their life or have had some major trauma going on. And so that once that is addressed, the fire setting stops.
Well, there are a lot of kids that are experiencing trauma in a lot of different ways, but not all kids start fires. I know that from the data that I read is that children between the ages of 5 and 9 are actually the most dangerous to themselves and others. Now, why is this specific group so high risk?
That age group, they play with fire inside. So they will hide in their room and in their closets, and so they can become trapped. And then by the time that the fire is big, it's gone through to the rest of the house. So escaping is difficult. And so that is why that is the highest age group that is at risk for hurt, for death, and injury. Now you look at the older age groups, the 10 and up, they're playing outside. They can go out there usually independently without supervision. And they can hide out in the woods or wherever it is that they're at, that they're doing it and doing their experiments outside. So, that's basically why.
Well, your program is becoming a model for the state of California. And like you said, even a national model because of its holistic approach. How long does that follow the kid?
So we check for check for recidivism, the rate of reoffending. But we basically, check in with the family at 6 and 12 months after program completion. And then also if they have not reoffended, committed any other crimes or any other fire crimes, then that's how we count the success.
Gotcha. Now, your program works in tandem with the Shasta Arson Task Force and other local fire departments. How does your assessment help law enforcement and the district attorneys decide whether a child needs mental health treatment rather than just juvenile justice?
Well, that's a rather complicated question. In the state of California, which is where the program is based, with the state, when a minor has been identified as committing a crime, a police report or a fire report from a law enforcement fire officer is written. The avenue that the cases go in the juvenile world in the state of California is those cases are turned into juvenile probation first, and they have an intake unit at probation, which determines if there's enough elements of the crime that it could be filed on and sent to the district attorney's office. If not, and I would say 70% of the cases that they receive do go to some type of diversion program, because the goal is to keep kids out of the juvenile justice system. Evidence shows that when kids get around other youth that are in the system, it's very difficult for them to get out. So we're really working on not getting kids in the system, so then they get referred to our program, because we are considered a diversion program. So not a lot of cases will go fully through the DA's office for filing. It has to be a pretty egregious fire, meaning high number of property damage or injury, or intent to, you know, destroy property or hurt people. So it has to be pretty serious for that. But we get most of the kids through our program, and that's where we get to track that success rate.
So when a child is referred to your program, what specific factors are you looking for that determine the child is at extreme risk?
Sure. So it's a number. So the survey is, they add up. So the more points you get on certain questions, it's a numeric scoring, then the higher the risk to fire set in the future. So when you get into those higher scores, I can tell based on the whole approach of where the individual is at, like what's going on in their family. Do they have support? Is the family intact? Do they have, a community around them? If the grades are good, I mean, usually those extreme risk categories they don't have a lot. The demographic is really, they're in housing, group homes. They're not in a good situation, or they've been adopted. Just a really lot of trauma in their past. And so that's where I'm seeing in the data showing me that the kids that are in the extreme risk categories have had some serious abuse, neglect, that is super concerning. And so that would definitely get a referral for mental health services to make sure that they are getting other services just besides the education.
So what advice would you give a parent who discovers, let's say, their child has been playing with matches or started a small fire? What's the first thing they should do?
Definitely education is super important, especially anywhere now in the United States. You're seeing fires in Nebraska. I mean, it's so dangerous, but definitely in California, on the West Coast, Oregon as well. Fire starts small. It just takes one spark. And most of these kids that play with fire, they're doing it to, it calms them down. It's something that they think that they can control. And they're just doing it as just something to keep them out of, they just something that they can control. It's just really super interesting. And they usually will get out of hand, and they don't intend for that to happen. Mm-hmm. But for parents, finding stuff that's burned, toys, little burned grass, scorched things in the yard, if they get caught with a lighter or matches. One of the questions on our assessment is if they like to stare at fire for long periods of time. Sounds like a silly question, doesn't it? Because, I mean, we love to sit by the fire and watch a campfire or the fireplace. But what they're really asking for is, does a parent feel like there's an excitement? Is there a thrill when they're watching fire? Are they very intrigued by it and really want to help out when it comes to like doing burn piles and that sort of thing? So educating to the youth to know that fire is a tool and it's not a toy, and how dangerous that it can be.
Okay. Well, we have about 30 seconds left. For those listening who want to support your work, or if a family needs access to your services, how do they get in touch with you?
Sure. We have a website, shastayouthoptions.org. And then under programs is the YFPI program.
Say that again.
So it's shastayouthoptions.org. Mm-hmm. And under programs, YFPI.
Okay. And at what point should they reach out to Youth Options or elsewhere for professional intervention?
Anytime they have a concern where they're seeing their young person in their family that is really excited about fire, or if they're burning and experimenting with fire unsupervised.
Gotcha. Okay. We'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much, Jazz.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
My guest was Jess Shaw with Youth Options in Shasta County.